Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidil Anbiya Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, we're continuing the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alhamdulillah, we have reached a very important part in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a part that we're talking about today is, subhanallah, it was the change of history. It was an occurrence that happened after 600 years, and it's something that happened for 23 years, and thereafter it stopped till the last day. There will be nothing like it. Today we're going to be discussing the wahi, about the wahi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it started. As we know that wahi is only revealed to a prophet, and the prophet before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Isa alaihi salam. So it's been more than 500 years. And more than 500 years, subhanAllah, how much has changed? How much of the religion has changed? Kaaba has become the place of holding or placing idols, when once it was built as a symbol of the oneness of Allah. But today it's no longer the symbol of the oneness of Allah, but it became the symbol of idol worshipping. And the people have no moral compass. Nobody knows what's right, what's wrong. Today somebody wakes up and they feel like this is the right thing, and tomorrow they wake up and they feel like something else is the right thing. And so people are in complete darkness. In darkness, because when you're in dark, you cannot know where to go. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go straight? You go and you bump into something and you realize that, okay, this is not the way. You go to another direction, you bump into that, and then you keep on going like this. This is how the condition of the people was right at the time, right before Nabuwa started. So we covered all the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until he is about 37 years old. And now at this age, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to love to be alone, to be away from people, to be away from all the noise and everything that is corrupting, because as people sin, it affects the whole environment. As people say something bad, it affects the whole environment. Whatever people do, it contributes to the whole environment. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would want to seclude himself from all of that. And he would go all the way to the cave of Hira. He would sit over there away from people and just start to think. Think about the creation of Allah. Think about how he created the creation and for what purpose. And what is the creation doing now? How much has the people gone astray? And he would be sitting at such a position that he would be looking straight at the Kaaba. He would be able to see the Kaaba. And as we know, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it descends on the Kaaba. And it's descending, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking and trying to find the meaning of life. He started to go there for a few hours, then a few days, and a time came where he would go there for months. And he would just completely seclude himself, not talk to anyone or anything. He would take his food with him all the way there, and he would just sit there and ponder. And why? Because he had to prepare himself. What he was preparing himself for was not something small. It was the wahi descending. Today, the closest comparison I was giving to the students when we were covering this is that when you have a runway in the airport and the plane is about to land, they make sure that the runway is completely clear and empty of every single small pebble. Because every small move can make the plane go left and right. So this wahi is now descending to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this heart had to be prepared for it. And so he goes and he spends this time contemplating, thinking, so that the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could descend. The wahi wasn't something small, subhanAllah. We have some narrations, Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu was saying that one time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's leg was next to mine or on top of mine. And when the wahi was being revealed, I thought that my leg was going to get shattered. That's how heavy the load of wahi was. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be going on a camel, and the wahi would come, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's camel would sit down. It would not be able to tolerate it. It would be winter and so cold, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would start to sweat. This was the capacity of wahi. It wasn't something small. It was something very, very heavy. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to prepare himself for this. And so he would start to go, and 1 year, 2 year, for 3 years, he is completely secluded himself, in which he is only remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disassociating himself from anything else. Subhanallah, this is one of those sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam we have forgotten. To actually take time and just sit alone, away from people, to think. Some people say that this happened before the wahi was revealed, so we don't have to follow this. But Dr. Ramadan al-Buti rahimahullah, he mentions in Fiqh al-Sirah, he said that this was something that continued even after Nabuwa. And the example of that is tahajjud of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tahajjud is a time where there's nobody and you're just sitting completely alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're thinking about your existence. That is the time where you're actually able to think. Unfortunately, today society is based on such dynamics that you're not able to think. Sometimes some people will say, the best ideas come to me when I'm in the bathroom. I'm taking a shower. The reason for that is usually because you don't have your phone or you don't have anybody that you're talking to. If you were able to give that time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sit undistracted from anything else, then even then things will come to your heart. So imagine if you were able to read the Quran, and before or after you were able to contemplate for some time and think about what is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to convey to you. That is what's going to open your heart. We have gone into this busy life cycle, this distracted life cycle, this life cycle that allows for everything but actually take time just to think about what is to come. Just to think about what has already happened. Think about how Allah created the world. And think about what's going to happen to you when you're in your grave all alone. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would start to think and think. Now, 6 months before the wahi is actually revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to get dreams. And when he would get a dream, the next day it would become the complete reality of that dream. And this happened for 6 months. And of course, when all of these things are happening, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is getting alerted. But even then, when the wahi came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in complete shock. When this, some scholars say that at this time, the rocks would say salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that true dream is 1/46th of Nabuwa. And the reason for that is 6 months of the period of 23 years. 6 months divided by 23 years is 1/46th. Now today, we might get an idea that if I get a good dream, am I getting wahi? For us, we can divide dreams into three categories. When we get dreams, it's either an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a good dream that's telling us something. That's one aspect. The second is that it's completely from shaitan. And then the third is that it is from our thoughts. Whatever you think about, that eventually comes in your dream. One time, a person went to a great scholar, and he said, "Oh teacher, I want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream." And the scholar said, "You really want to see him?" He said, "Yes, I want to see him in my dream." He said, "Okay, come to me tomorrow." And the next day when he comes, the scholar invites him to come eat food with him. And in the food, he added a lot of salt. And he gave him instruction that you can't drink water, and he told him that you can't drink water till tomorrow. But he added a lot of salt. What does salt do to you? It makes you thirsty. So the whole time this person is thinking about drinking water, drinking water. The next day when the person comes, the scholar told him, he said, what did you see in your dream? He said, all I saw was water. Because when you keep thinking about something, that's what you're going to see. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we want to, we need to get more in touch with his life. Of course, this does not mean that that should become our objective, just to go see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our dream. The real objective is to follow his way. But the idea is that dream can be either from shaitan, and those you say, A'udhu billah, and you dismiss them. Or they could be an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for that you can discuss it with somebody that you know wishes well for you, or somebody who may be an Islamic scholar or something of that. And third is dreams that just come from your mind, just like this one that I spoke about. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to get these dreams. And now, after 6 months, he's sitting in Ghari Hira. And Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him. Jibreel alayhi salam hugs him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is frightened. He hugs him hard. And he said, Iqra. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ma ana biqari. He tells him again, he hugs him and he said, Iqra. And he says, ma ana biqari. I'm not a reciter. I'm not the one to read. I can't read. And he tells him again, Iqra. Right? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then starts to recite the surah. And so upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in so much shock that he goes to Khadija radiallahu anha. He goes to his house. And he tells Khadija radiallahu anha, Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me up. A jinn has afflicted me. Something has happened to me. I don't know what's going on with me. And Khadija radiallahu anha, subhanallah, an amazing psychologist, psychotherapist, a person who is able to console, a person with wisdom, is immediately telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Kalla lay yukhzika Allahu abada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forsaken you. He will never do anything bad to you. You say the truth. You help people who are poor. You help people who are weak and who cannot lift their own burdens. You are nice and hospitable to the guests. Allah will not do anything bad to you. She calms him down. Then she tries to think of what's the best thing to do. And she realized that her cousin, Waraqat ibn Nawfal, he's been talking about Christianity and he doesn't believe in this worship of idols and all that. So she's like, he's the right person to go to. She goes and speaks to him. Takes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she tells him that this is what's happening with your nephew. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains what happened to him in the experience of the first wahi. And there, Waraqat ibn Nawfal radiallahu anhu, he tells him that if what you're saying is the truth, then this is the same Namus, the same archangel, the Jibreel alayhi salam that came to Musa alayhi salam. Then be happy that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be the prophet of this ummah. And he says, I wish that the time when your people are going to kick you out of Makkah, I wish I was young and I wish I was able to support you and help you. And upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like, Awa mukhrijiyana? They're going to kick me out? And the reason why it's hard for him to believe is because people love him, people respect him, people honor him. So what is the reason that people will kick him out? He says, yes, people will kick you out because there isn't a single messenger that comes with what you are about to tell the people except that he was kicked out by his people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, okay, he leaves. After some days, Waraqat ibn Nawfal passes away. It could be argued that Waraqat ibn Nawfal radiallahu anhu was one of the first ones to accept Islam. Later on, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in hadith that I've seen Waraqat ibn Nawfal in white clothes in Jannah. Right? So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. And now for a period of time, the wahi stops. And this is called Fatratul Wahi. Some scholars say that this was 3 days. Some says it was 3 months. Some says 4 months. Some even say 3 years. Majority of the scholars say it was a brief period of time. And so in this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this experience happened, is now extremely anxious. He wants to know more. What's going on?
But he doesn't know that Wahy isn't coming. And he's in complete anxiety that what is going on? Why isn't it coming? Or what is it? What happened? And why isn't it happening anymore? And he would go to the mountains and he would start to look and look left and right. But there was nothing. Then one day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, as I look, I see, all I see is Jibreel alayhi salam. When I look left, it's Jibreel. When I look right, it's Jibreel. All of the horizon is covered with Jibreel. And he said that I am Jibreel and you are the Prophet. And upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once again goes to the house and he's in this fright. He's like, what is happening to me? And he tells Khadija radiallahu anha once again, Dathiruni, Dathiruni, cover me up, I can't take it. And so from there then, the second wahi starts, and that is, Ya ayyuhal muddathir qum fa anzir. And inshallah, we're going to start with Ya ayyuhal muddathir next session inshallah. But this session, I want to highlight a few things. One is the concept that we already covered, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking the time to seclude himself from everyone, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how important that is. The second thing is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets the wahi, some scholars say that when he was hugged, why was it so physical? Because subhanAllah, even today in Western academics, the Orientalists, they sometimes will come and they say, oh, there's no such thing as wahi. This was just a psychological state. It was psychosis. It was this thing, it was that thing. But subhanAllah, the fact that it happened physically is a proof that it was not a state of the mind, but it was actually something real. And so it proves to us that as well. The third is that tells us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying iqra, and iqra is to balance between the knowledge of Islam, the knowledge of deen, and the knowledge of this world as well. And that's why we see subhanallah, Islam was never divorced from this world. In fact, Islam is a way of life, and Islam's contribution to global civilization is unlimited. Because the Muslims always took it as one thing. The next thing we realize is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to Khadija radiallahu anha, we see her excellence, and we see how smart and wise of a lady she was. And then we also see that when she's consoling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she is talking about his character. You, Allah will never let you down. Why? Because you say the truth. So today we ask ourselves, what do people know about us? Are we known for truth or not? Unfortunately, there are certain things that are very common in our society and we don't take heed to that. Sometimes just as a mere thing we will say, sometimes we need money from someone and just as a thing, oh, just give me this money for 1 month. And then 2 months pass by, 3 months pass by and you do not return that money. What do you think a person should think of you then? Or you say something simple, I will be there in 5 minutes. And you're not there in 5 minutes, you're there in 7 minutes. What do you think this is doing to your reputation? Unfortunately, this is a common phenomenon. In the Desi culture, like if they tell you the wedding is at 7 o'clock, make sure you don't go any time before 9 because you'll just be wasting your time. Right? Where's the aspect of truthfulness and sticking to our word? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known as As-Sadiq. When Khadija radiallahu anha is consoling him, she says, "Innaka latasduqul hadith." You say the truth. And so where is this concept in our life? Subhanallah, some of this thing has become so thing, we don't even pay attention to it. Like if somebody tells me, "Where are you?" and I'm just like, "I'm 5 minutes away." It's nobody even thinks of it like, "Oh, that this is a lie." Nobody even thinks that when I'm asking for a favor from someone or I'm saying something that, hey, I just need to use it for a few things and then you take somebody's car. I just need to you make it one trip from here to here. The next thing you know, you put 3,000 miles on it. Right? Simple things. But these are all part of the akhlaqun nabuwa. Akhlaqun nabuwa that we need to, compare our lives to and see where are we. Then she goes on and she said that you're helping the poor. When was the last time I was involved in an activity or something that helped the poor, that helped the weak? And you take care of your guests. When was the last time? What do people know about our hospitality? So these are different things that we realize from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the akhlaqun nabuwa, that we need to start to instill into our own life. And so the first thing is to take time out where it's just you and Allah. Because even you can get inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you something to your heart, give you the understanding of the Quran, or give you understanding of a hadith that is not understood by anybody else. But in order for that to happen, you have to clear your heart. And the importance of that is that you'll see one gathering, one person will take so much benefit from it, and another person will take nothing from it. And the reason for that is what is in your heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some people became Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, and some people became Abu Jahl and Utbah and Shaybah and Umayyah. They became them. Why? Same people, same teacher, same message. The difference was the heart. And so today we have to make sure that our heart is right. Unfortunately today, our hearts are such that we find a reason not to talk to someone, a reason to hate. But that is not from the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the only remedy to that is to go take time and work on your heart, focus on your heart and rectifying that, and then try to inculcate the akhlaqun nabuwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and bring all the lessons from the seerah into our lives. And inshallah, next week I will not be here. So inshallah, and the week after as well, we will be resuming this halaqa inshallah from January onwards. So inshallah, everybody is requested to continue your mutala or at least these halaqats in your family discussions and everything like that. But inshallah, we will be continuing from January. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.